After she did the same around her wrists, her clothes were hermetically sealed. Out of the kit, she grabbed disposable gloves and the breathing mask she'd used at autopsies when she was formerly with RHD, closed the trunk, and walked up to join the three uniformed officers. As she approached, she recognized Sergeant Stan Dvorak, the area boss, and two officers whose longevity on the graveyard shift got them the cushy and slow Hollywood Hills beat. Dvorak was balding and paunchy with the kind of hip spread that comes with too many years in a patrol car. He was leaning against the fender of one of the cars with his arms folded in front of his chest. He was known as the Relic. Anybody who actually liked being on the midnight shift and lasted significant years on it ended up with a nickname. Dvorak was the current record holder, celebrating his 10th year on the late show just a month before. The officers with him, Anthony Anzalone and Dwight Doucette, were Casper and Deuce. Ballard, with just 3 years on Graveyard, had no nickname bestowed upon her yet. At least, none that she knew about. "Fellas," Ballard said.
"Whoa, Sally Ride," Dvorak said. "When's the shuttle taking off?"
Ballard spread her arms to display herself. She knew the coveralls were baggy and looked like a spacesuit. She thought maybe she had just been christened with a nickname. "That would be never," she said. "So what do we got that chased you out of the house?"
"It's bad in there," said Anzalone.
"It's been cooking," Doucette added.
The Relic pushed off the trunk of his car and got serious.
"Female, white, 50s. Looks like blunt force trauma and facial lacerations," he said. "Somebody worked her over pretty good. Domicile in disarray. Could have been a break-in."
"Sexual assault?" Ballard asked.
"Her nightgown's pulled up. She's exposed."
"Okay, I'm going in. Which one of you brave lads wants to walk me through it?" There were no immediate volunteers.
"Deuce, you've got the high number," Dvorak said.
"Shit," said Doucette.
Doucette was the newest officer of the three, so he had the highest serial number. He pulled a blue bandana up from around his neck and over his mouth and nose.
"You look like a fucking Crip," Anzalone said.
"Why? Because I'm black?" Doucette asked.
"Because you're wearing a fucking blue bandana," Anzalone said. "If it was red, I'd say you look like a fucking Blood."
"Just show her," Dvorak said. "I really don't want to be here all night."
Doucette broke off the banter and headed toward the open door of the house. Ballard followed. "How'd we get this thing so late anyway?" she asked.
"Next door neighbor got a call from the victim's niece back in New York," Doucette said. "Neighbor has a key and the niece asked him to check because the lady wasn't responding to social media or cell calls for a few days. The neighbor opens the door, gets hit with the funk, and calls us."
"At 1 o'clock in the morning?"
"No, much earlier. But all of PM watch was tied up last night on a caper with a 459 suspect and on a perimeter around Park La Brea till end of watch. Nobody got up here, and then it got passed on to us at roll call. We came by as soon as we could."
Ballard nodded. The perimeter around a robbery suspect sounded suspect to her. More likely, she thought, the buck had been passed shift to shift because nobody wants to work a possible body case that has been cooking in a closed house. "Where's the neighbor now?" Ballard asked.
"Back home," Doucette said. "Probably taking a shower and sticking VapoRub up his nose. He's never going to be the same again."
"We gotta get his prints to exclude him, even if he says he didn't go in."
"Roger that. I'll get the print car up here."
Snapping on her latex gloves, Ballard followed Doucette over the threshold and into the house. The breathing mask was almost useless. The putrid odor of death hit her strongly, even though she was breathing through her mouth. Doucette was tall and broad-shouldered. Ballard could see nothing until she was well into the house and had stepped around him. The house was cantilevered out over the hillside, making the view through the floor-to-ceiling glass wall a stunning sheath of twinkling light. Even at this hour, the city